So in our gospel passage this morning, we just heard that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Facing something usually means dealing with something difficult and hard, yes? Like to face the music means to, you got to accept unpleasant consequences. We've all have had at one point or another faced the music. And so now it begins in our story. Up until now, Jesus has been content ministering in the small towns, the villages, the backwaters of Galilee. Now, suddenly, he's headed for the bright lights of the big city, Jerusalem. It's like saying Jesus had been ministering out in Wyoming and North and South Dakota, Wisconsin. You know, you get the picture, right? But now he's headed for Washington, D.C. So from now until the end of October, we're going to be journeying with Jesus as he makes his way to Jerusalem. And with hindsight of 2,000 plus years, we know what those unpleasant consequences are that Jesus faces. In Jerusalem, Jesus will encounter humiliation, rejection, suffering, ultimately the cross. Jesus is not only set on going to Jerusalem to meet his fate, he now becomes clearer and clearer about what it means for us to be his followers. His decision to set his face in a certain way has an impact on his disciples. In our passage, we see people hesitate or be mistaken about what it means to follow Jesus. First, Jesus has sent messengers ahead to a despised Samaritan town, and the people there understandably don't welcome them. There's always been bad blood between Jews and Samaritans for centuries. We know that. So two of Jesus's disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven to punish them. But Jesus' response is, he's striking. He tells them that the Son of Man came to save lives, not destroy. And being committed as a disciple then means acting like Jesus, showing love and grace, even when it is hard. It means choosing peace over revenge, trust over bitterness. But wait, there's even more. Next, we come across a man who wants to bury his father first, and another wants to say goodbye to their family. And Jesus responds by saying, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this may seem harsh, huh? A little bit unreasonable. What's wrong with saying goodbye before heading off, not knowing if you're going to see your family again or when or if ever? What's wrong with burying your dead father, which in fact is a sacred duty in the Jewish religion? But Jesus says these strict responses to teach us about the cost of discipleship. Jesus knows that when the going gets tough, our first inclination as flawed human beings is to make excuses, to hightail it out, much as the disciples do on the night when Jesus is finally arrested. Jesus draws that line in the sand. Following him must come first in our lives. Discipleship comes before security, cultural expectations, or divided loyalties. Discipleship comes before our national, our ethnic, our cultural identities. Discipleship must be our priority. So what does that boil down? What does that look like for us? With the 4th of July around the corner, perhaps we can learn about the rigors of discipleship from the men and women who dedicated themselves to fight for freedom from tyranny back in the 1770s. Have you ever wondered what happened to those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? Five signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 10 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardship. Francis Hopkins, William Floyd, had their homes confiscated and used by the British. Carter Braxton, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept out to the seas by the British Navy, and he sold his home and properties and to pay his debts, and he died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family constantly. He served in Congress without pay. That's a new thing. What a concept, huh? And his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British commander had taken over his home for his headquarters. And what did he do? He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire on his very home. So the home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she lay dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His field and gristmill was laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in the forest and caves, returning to find his wife dead, his children vanished. And then a few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. These men and women laid down their life on the line for the cause of freedom. They're just the tip of the iceberg. We think of all the additional sacrifices of the ordinary people, the indentured people, the enslaved people, and the cost they paid. The question then becomes, as we listen to those examples, how committed are we to the call of spiritual freedom that Jesus offers us? Today is a good day to take stock of what our discipleship today looks like. It means following Jesus cannot be a casual thing. It's not a once a week Sunday morning obligation. Discipleship is a 24/7 commitment. We are meant to follow Jesus when we're driving, at work, when we're shopping, when we're hanging out with our families, our friends, fishing, attending a picnic or barbecue. Discipleship doesn't stop. Sometimes we make difficult choices and sacrifices to stay faithful. This might mean standing up for what is right when it's unpopular, or choosing peace over anger when we feel justified to fight back. Jesus calls on us to a different kind of courage and strength. He's asking us to follow him no matter what, to be faithful even when everything seems chaotic around us, just like our founding fathers and mothers found themselves in. Today, Paul reminds us of the freedom we are called to. It is not a freedom for self-indulgence, but a freedom found, he says, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, and we let ourselves be guided by the Holy Spirit. So as we think about the freedom of following Jesus, let's take a page from the book of our founding ancestors and remember these things that we are called to do. Total surrender. Following Jesus means giving our all to him, all personal preferences and comforts aside. It's a call of urgency, priority. The mission to proclaim God's kingdom takes precedence over all earthly obligations. And finally, it's a call of perseverance, just like the farmer who must keep his or her eyes on the furrow and not look back. Disciples must look forward, not back, a persevering with unwavering dedication. So, like those founding fathers and mothers, as they pursued freedom, no matter the cost, let us forge ahead in the same way with Jesus, in courage and faith, no looking back. Amen.